He's been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the, we're back to work. It's back to work Tuesday, but it will be a short trading week, just 4 days left of trading. So we better get busy. The Dow right now starts off on a weak note. It's down 211 points. I haven't really had time to look and find where the weak spots are. But now this follows last Friday's very weak jobs report, which kind of put a little chill in the market. But as I said in my newsletter over the weekend, bad news is good news. That should hold the Fed at bay for quite some time as far as tapering and hiking interest rates. We have at the moment, the NASDAQ, however, is up a little bit. The NASDAQ, at least it was, now it's down 5 points, 15,358. The S&P down 16 points, 4,520. Of course, we saw new all-time highs yesterday or last week for the S&P 500 and for the NASDAQ, not the Dow, however. The Russell 2K is up 8 points. Hey, the small caps are up. 2,300 on the Russell 2K. Crude oil down 69 cents after breaking through 70 last week. We have a Labor Day weekend now over. All the people pulling boats, driving RVs, you know. Now the gas prices can come back down. 68.60 on crude oil. Gold down $22 per ounce. You know, it broke out on Friday. I said, I'm going to keep my eye on gold. So I'm keeping my eye on it. It's down $22 per ounce. This morning, that's 1.2%. It's at 18.12. Silver also backing off a little bit. The 10-year rising, that's probably what's spooking the market. Up 5 basis points, 1.37, and Bitcoin down 736 to 50,794. So welcome to today's Best Stocks Now show as we begin a new week on Wall Street, with just 4 days left in this trading week. I'm going to have to go really fast here as I look at charts after the show today. A lot of charts to look at. I've got 963 B-plus or better ranked stocks out of a database of almost 6,000. That's a pretty healthy number, the number of B-plus or better ranked stocks. Now, we got to kind of pick up where we left off on Friday. The Dow was down 75 on Friday. The NASDAQ, however, hit a new all-time high on Friday. It was up 32. It closed at 15,363. But the big news on Friday was the non-farm payrolls rose by just 235,000 in August, which was well shy of the forecast. In fact, it was a dismal number. There's no other way to put it. That's the bad news. The good news is the Fed should continue to pause and hold off on any kind of tightening right now with that weak jobs number. Now, the current administration is blaming the COVID Delta variant. So, you know, that could be it. You know, we'll give them a pass on this jobs report, but all eyes on the next jobs report 4 weeks from now. You would think things would be getting a lot better in the jobs market, not so sluggish. When everybody looking for help, where did all this help go? Did they just disappear? Do they not want to come back to work? I don't know what the problem is, but I see help wanted signs everywhere. Just about everywhere. How can we not be creating jobs? Well, that dragged the Dow lower on Friday and maybe spilling into today. But the bigger factor today, and I've been saying this now for the last, since February, we have to keep our eye on interest rates. If you want to put the country into recession and the market into a bear, interest rates would have a lot to do with that. Rising interest rates would have a lot to do with that. We saw a little preview of what rising interest rates, what impact rising interest rates have on the market in February and March. And we saw the highest of the high-tech speculative area of the market get hammered pretty good. I mean, 35 to 40% correction in a lot of the ETFs that that track that area of the market. And that's the most vulnerable area of the market in a rising interest rate environment. Obviously, bond funds are also a very vulnerable area of the market in a rising interest rate environment. And over on the other side, your financial sector, insurance sector, etc., they do well in a rising interest rate environment. So we are up about 7 basis points since Friday, and that is putting a chill through the Dow today. NASDAQ down just 4 points so far today, however. Okay, we have, there's not a lot of news coming up this week. We are through earnings season. We got 3 weeks left before this quarter closes. We did see a big, the estimates for the GDP for this third quarter, gross domestic product, they were slashed pretty good. Right around that jobs report on Friday, I saw a couple of firms go from 6.5% growth GDP this quarter that we're in, slashed it all the way down to 2.9%, which is pretty significant. And I think that's probably also spilling over in today's action. S&P down 20 now. That's 0.4%. But we're going to have to really watch interest rates going forward. And the other news, they're going to be wrangling, they're going to be debating, they're going to be horse trading up in Washington. They're trying to get the next package is $3.5 trillion. This supposedly is a human infrastructure package, which leans very heavily towards social programs. And, of course, Manchin, not too happy up in West Virginia. A very red state, and Sinema out in Arizona, which is kind of a purple state. They right now are throwing a wrench, and there's no margin for error, right? It's 50-50 in the Senate with Kamala Harris breaking the tie. You lose Sinema or Manchin or either one of them or both of them and maybe a few others, and that package is going nowhere. So we'll have to see what they throw in as far as perks and bennies for West Virginia and Arizona to get that package through. Funny the tech. You know, I'm surprised that the NASDAQ's holding up better than the Dow today with those rising interest rates. But it'll be interesting to get into this a little bit today and look at some charts. We've had a pretty good run in the market. We've had, in fact, a win streak of 7 months in a row for the S&P 500, and we've seen the S&P clear 4,500, hitting new all-time highs. Let's not forget the S&P was around 650, 660 back in September of 2009. We're in the 12th year, 13th year of a secular bull market that will at some point come to an end, all right? And there will be another recession, and there will be another bear. That's why we've got to watch interest rates. We've got to watch earnings. We've got to watch GDP. All of it. All of it is important with a heavy emphasis on earnings. Well, all of these comeback stocks, they did very poorly after the week jobs report. And, of course, now you've got summer over, and you've got this Delta variant still running pretty hot through a lot of states, a lot of cities. And I'm sure it's impacting the cruise lines, the theme parks, the theaters, the restaurants, the hotels, you name it. It's going to continue to impact our economy. And, of course, it's getting the blame for the weak jobs report that we saw on Friday. The current trend we talked about quite a bit last week, the trend is your friend. The trend has definitely been tilted heavily towards large tech, Apple, Microsoft, Amazon, those kinds of companies. The stocks that were winners last year have been horrible this year. The Zoom videos, the Pelotons, the EV stocks. China, which had a good year last year, has had a terrible year this year. It did have a good week last week. The Alibabas, the JDs, the Tencents. Are you ready to go back into those Chinese stocks? Well, more on that when we come back, along with some more big macro outlooks on where these big firms think we're going in the future here with the market. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be right back. Welcome back here to the second quarter of Best Stocks. Now, Dow down 270 right now, back near 35,000. It's at 35,100 right now. I would just say that as of now, that 35,000 level on the Dow is probably the support level. So we got to watch that closely. And on the other hand, how is the NASDAQ doing? The S&P's down 19. It's gotten a little better. It's down just 0.4%, and the NASDAQ's down just 3 points right now, so I'm not going to get too concerned about today's little hiccup in the market. All right, now, I always talk about how important the macro outlook of the market is. I write my macro outlook. I stick my neck on the line every single Saturday. I did again this past Saturday. If you missed my newsletter, you can get 2 free weeks by going to my website at GundersonCapital.com and checking out my current macro outlook, which is my own unique perspective on where I think the market is headed over the next 3 to 12 months, I would say. But I like to look at other folks when they come out with their macro outlooks. LPL is out today. They have quite a few branches around the country, and, of course, they have people that are their chief market strategist and chief investment officers and other titles like that. Well, they examine 5 bearish arguments here, and they comment on each of those bearish arguments. First, number one, stocks went up too fast. Well, I reported that we had the quickest doubling of the market in the history of the market. I mean, you go back to February of 2020, and March of 2020, when the market hit that bottom. In essence, we had about a 3-month bear market, 2 or 3 month bear market, and it was caused by an external event that had nothing to do with the strength of the companies, the strength of the earnings, the quality of the companies, this kind of thing. It was an outside event. It was extraordinary. It was COVID-19. We shut down our economy. We basically brought our economy not to a screeching halt, but some industries did come to a screeching halt. Well, LPL doesn't think that's a big concern. It is true that the S&P is up more than 15% year to date, but that's usually a good sign. That has, in the past, been a pretty strong indicator that the market will go up even more between now and the end of the year. Okay, the second bear argument that LPL states here, easy comparisons. Well, you know what? That's always an argument you can make. The comparisons, this quarter that we just finished reporting, the second quarter of 2021, earnings were up 90%. Well, once again, you're comparing today's earnings for this third quarter with the earnings of the third quarter last year, which you had an extraordinary event. just like in an income statement, you know, any accountant knows or anybody who reviews financial statements, there's usually some footnotes with extraordinary events that shouldn't occur, reoccur in the future. No guarantees, but they were extraordinary events. And so we've had some very easy comparisons. But having said that, we had a record quarter for earnings this past quarter. We're looking to have another record quarter this year. Comparisons or not, that's pretty powerful stuff there. And LPL says, well, we can't entirely dismiss the risk, including the Delta variant. Of course, that's still out there. Chain disruptions, still problems there with supply chain and inflation pressures, particularly wages. But we expect corporate America's efficiency and the strength of the reopening to continue to power earnings ahead and lead to additional gains for stocks over the rest of 2021. Now, this is LPL. Okay, there's one statement that they make there that I totally agree with. Corporate America's efficiency. I think it's remarkable how corporate America, of course, they have to retool. They have to reconfigure and everything when something, when such an unusual event hits, like the COVID-19. And now, this quarter that just ended, we saw record profit margins for companies, record profit margins. And I totally agree with that. Corporate America's efficiency. And I think corporate America's efficiency is going to continue. You know, working around the supply chain disruptions, working around the semiconductor shortage, working around the worker shortage. Somehow, these people running these companies figure it out. Taper tantrum, that's number three. Do we need to worry about that? LPL says, we don't think the current Fed is going to take away the punch bowl anytime soon. Okay. In other words, the party at the Fed is going to continue for a while. But here is one that they do say is a worry, and I can't agree more with this than what they say. Higher taxes could be a headwind. Because taxes are after, or earnings are after taxes. And if you raise taxes, that's going to lower earnings, it's going to lower the market. And I've said before with that tax hike potentially in play, I guess a lot of that depends on where this $3.5 trillion bill floating around goes. I'm sure they're going to have to raise taxes to pay for that if it passes. You know, you're talking about 400 or 500 S&P 500 points, which is no small number, if we were to get a significant corporate tax hike. But all in all, LPL Research continues to believe that tactical investors should tilt their portfolios in favor of stocks over bonds. This does not mean that an exogenous shock, well, there's always that chance, could not cause stocks to correct. However, when looking at the recent pace of earnings, emphasize the word earnings, the policy environment, and market history, we fail to see a compelling bear case against equities. Well, you could also make an argument that there's too many bulls out there, right? That's the contrarian argument. It seems like all of these large firms, except for a few, continue to be bullish. The sentiment continues to be bullish. Maybe the sentiment is too bullish. Well, that's why I look to earnings to get around that sentiment. All right, and then Barclays weighs in. They say the stock bulls should not sweat the taper. Did you wake up sweating this morning and mumbling taper, taper, taper tantrum, taper tantrum? Well, there was a big taper tantrum. It was 2013. I still remember it. You know, interest rates went up 100 points or 100 basis points when Ben Bernanke started talking about the taper. And, you know, that would take interest rates where we're at now, 1.37. If we had a repeat of that, we'd go up to 2.37. That would have a massive shock on the tech sector, the NASDAQ, and a lot of areas. The financials would benefit. But I think they're signaling this taper a lot better than Bernanke did. Okay, I'd like to talk about individual stocks in the second half of the show. Plenty of that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson. And welcome back here to the second half of today's Best Stocks Now show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 21 years in the trenches watching the markets. The Dow right now down 286 as we greet a new week. It's Tuesday already. The Dow's at 35,081. The S&P's down 18 right now, 45.16 after hitting a new all-time high on Friday. And the NASDAQ's positive. It's up by 3 right now. I'm anxious to start looking at a lot of these charts here. The NASDAQ is up 3 points here, and that's a new all-time high for the NASDAQ. Okay, I'm just going to mention one other worry here, inflation. A lot of talk about inflation as to whether it's transitory or not. You know, there's more and more indication that it's going to be around for a while. And today the Dallas Fed is talking about rent inflation. Maybe it's time to buy an apartment building or a rental unit. Rent inflation is expected to rise in the years to come as home prices continue to ramp amid continued inventory constraints. Well, yeah, if you're paying more for a home to rent out, you've got to obviously charge more for the rent. The bank forecast, this is the Dallas Fed, rent inflation to rise from 1.9% in June of this year to 3% by the end of next year. And get this, to 6.9% at the end of the year 2023. Well, obviously, rent inflation gives people less money in their pocket to spend in the economy. But they are forecasting consumer price year-over-year growth of 5.29%. We're back to 5.3% now. That inflation may be not so transitory after all. And after the big jobs report, the bad jobs report on Friday, I heard another word come up quite a bit, and that's stagflation. When you get inflation on the one hand, which we just mentioned, the rent inflation, that's expected. I've noticed inflation in other areas of the economy, especially probably at the supermarket the most. And you get a slowing economy, as evidenced by the jobs report. You get stagnation of the economy with inflation equals stagflation. So we can't rule that one out. And stagflation is good for nobody. It's not good for the worker. It's not good for the consumer. And it's not good for the investors. And I think that's why maybe we saw, I do watch several gold stocks, and I watch several gold ETFs, and I watch, obviously, the price of gold. I saw the first breakout in a long time in gold on Friday after the jobs report. And, of course, Bitcoin also did pretty well, breaking above 50,000, or 52,000, actually. As a country, El Salvador actually made a big buy of Bitcoin, the first country to do so. So, yeah, I mean, these cash substitutes, U.S. dollar substitutes, I suppose, gold and Bitcoin, both pretty vibrant on Friday. Now, one day does not a new trend make, but definitely we need to watch it because those are inflation indicators. Okay, back to China for a minute. You know, it's tempting. I know it's tempting to watch Alibaba, which is a great growth company, and JD.com growing faster than most U.S. Growth companies. And, you know, the rest of them, there's a Tencent Holdings and whatnot. But, you know, I just keep seeing bad stuff. Just keep seeing bad stuff coming out of China. On Friday, Didi Global, which is their version of Uber, there were reports that the government was going to step in and take over the company. Oh, they had a reason, you know, privacy concerns. Yeah, like China really cares about the consumer's privacy. Well, their Didi is saying that those reports are untrue, and I suppose that kind of set off a little bit of a rally in the Chinese stocks. And then China comes along. The China State Planner is going to set prices for after-school tutoring classes. Government setting prices. Those stocks, over the last month, the education stocks in China, like Tao Education and Sunlands and New Oriental Education, they have been slaughtered anywhere from 60% to 96%. Just absolutely hammered with the heavy hand of government stepping in and saying, you're charging too much. We can't allow you to be profitable companies. And then, of course, the U.S. government really cracking down on Chinese IPOs. And there's a new Chinese electrical vehicle startup, which is said to consider going public through a SPAC deal. Where can I get some of that? Oh, boy. I love SPACs. No, I don't. I hate SPACs. I think there's a lot of trouble ahead for those people that took SPACs public. I think there's going to be a lot of class action lawsuits. NASDAQ's up 12 right now. And Chinese startups are not exactly on my watch list either. And electric vehicle startups either. So that's one I thought I would at least comment on. Moderna slides on delayed timeline in U.S. COVID-19 booster rollout. I think the play in the vaccine stocks, you know, Moderna ends up being one of the greatest stocks of all time, probably the fastest trip to the S&P 500 that I've ever witnessed. But would I step in and buy Moderna now, even though it's ranked very high? Yeah, you know what? Probably not. All right, one other sector of the market. I see a SPAC today. They're buying. They're becoming a space, the latest space SPAC. What do you think about investing in outer space and Virgin Galactic? You heard what happened to Virgin Galactic. That thing veered way off course, and its return, big investigation going on. I would not touch one of those space stocks. And then, of course, there's last year's big winners. We saw Zoom Video report, you know, a big drop since last year. And listen to this one. Peloton app usage has fallen 42% since April of this year, much more than the competitors. Well, there's another stock of yesteryear. It's already a stock of yesteryear, which in this instance is last year. Peloton is currently ranked number 3,425 in my database, while Zoom Video, ZM, is ranked number 3,096. There's an argument against passive investing, buying a portfolio, a buy and hold portfolio. Well, you know, there's a lot of sector rotation within the market. And what worked last year is not working this year. And yet a lot of people, including a lot of mutual funds and ETFs, continue to buy and sock away the stocks that worked last year. We have one more vaccine player here. And this looks like a stock that's getting ready to break out. Novavax, NVAX. I want to say that's the one Bill Gates was involved with. This is really a good chart on Novavax. Japan is buying 150 million doses of Novavax, NVAX, their COVID-19 vaccine. That's about the best chart I've seen so far today, NVAX, and a stock that's ranked number 202 overall. So you have a new player, Novavax, in that vaccine space. Well, I would just say this. After doing the newsletter over the weekend and, you know, looking at the sectors, looking at the asset classes, I think stocks are still the best place to be. I think bond funds remain very, very vulnerable going forward. There is a little bit of hope there in the precious metals and gold and whatnot, but the stock stocks look a lot better. And as far as sectors go, the action's pretty much been around the cloud. It's been around the cybersecurity stocks, the software enterprise stocks. The semiconductor stocks continue to do well. And big tech. Big tech. Wasn't there a big John? Big bad John. Well, big bad tech continues to lead this market. And one last observation. Large caps over small caps. This is Bill Gunderson. We'll be back for the final segment and our featured stock of the day.
You gotta go where you wanna go.
Welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Stocks Now show. NASDAQ up 17. I'm seeing the cyber security stocks, SentinelOne having a big day, and some others there. I haven't had much of a chance, though, to really dig into what's going on here. That happens in about 10 minutes here. I can't wait. The chip stocks continue to do well. One that caught my eye last week, UMC. United Microelectronics. That's out of Taiwan. Okay. Out of Taiwan, UMC pays a good dividend yield. That's one on my watch list there. Let's see what else. Qualcomm to supply a new chip for Renault electric vehicle. I don't know how many electric vehicles Renault will make out of France, but Qualcomm is also in the autonomous driving chip business. Rowan Street Capital says Facebook prospects remain bright despite stock run-up. I would have to agree with that. We have an article out there you can look at on Seeking Alpha at our recent write-up of Facebook. It is one we own in our premier growth portfolio. Where you like Facebook or not, whether you use Facebook or not, whether you like Facebook politics or not, I focus on earnings and earnings growth, and that looks pretty favorable for Facebook. My featured stock of the day is going to come from the diabetes area of the market, where I've done very well over the years. Unfortunately, there is an epidemic in the U.S. besides the pandemic of COVID. Diabetes is a growing epidemic, as you know. I guess we have it too good here in America. Now, some people obviously born with diabetes, others, you know, make the problem worse with being overweight, obesity, etc. All kinds of different reasons. And I've done really well with a revolutionary stock that I do not own anymore. One of the biggest winners I ever found in the market. And I own some others also in that area. I currently own in my emerging growth portfolio, my emerging growth portfolio, Tandem Diabetes Care. The symbol is TNDM. It is a company out of San Diego, California, an area of the world that I'm quite familiar with, as lived there for 55 years in San Diego, and I decided about 3 years ago to make the jump, my wife and I, from the West Coast to the East Coast. We're probably directly on the same latitude lines as San Diego. Charleston is very similar in a lot of ways to San Diego. But I would say the thing that we have here that San Diego doesn't have, the fishing is way better here. Okay. Now, when I was growing up in San Diego, the fishing was fantastic. The albacore runs every year, and we had Florida largemouth bass, a record size fish in the local lakes. We used to get a lot of lobsters and abalone and whatnot. It's not the same San Diego that I grew up in, and now I'm over here, surrounded by shrimp in my backyard, blue crabs in my backyard, speckled trout. everywhere. We're having the redfish are really turning on here now, flounder and offshore. We've got wahoo. We've got sailfish. We've got king mackerel. We've got mahi-mahi. We have grouper. I mean, yes, I don't get a lot of, as much time as I'd like to get out on the ocean and fishing, but the opportunities are endless here in this neck of the woods, especially if you like seafood, which we do. My wife and I, we love it. So Tandem Diabetes is going to be my featured stock of the day out of San Diego, California. It's currently ranked number 260. I currently, as of today, have 960 B-plus or better ranked stocks. And I normally kind of focus, as far as looking at new potential buys, I focus in the top maybe 300 or 400 out of a field of 5,800. You know, I don't know how many football college graduates there are every year, but you've got the NFL scouts kind of ferreting down to the NFL draft, and I'm sure they're looking at the top, 500 college players, you know, and once they identify who they are, they still put them through a lot of hoops and drills and timing and all kinds of stuff before they select them in the NFL draft. Well, I do the same thing with the stock market. You know, I have my metrics that I use, and they're metrics that involve valuations. There's metrics that involve performance, momentum, speed, relative strength. A lot of the same things. I'm sure they look at these college players, same attributes. And then a visual inspection, which Tandem has a very good chart. It's breaking out today. That's why I mentioned it. It's up 10.1%. I haven't even seen the news yet. I have to look that up. This happened since I finished my notes from this morning. But Tandem currently ranked number 260. It's TNDM. It's a $7.9 billion small cap company. And we're having a good day with it. But as always, you got to look at all of our holdings, and you can do that. I offer out 2 free weeks of the newsletter, the Best Stocks Now newsletter, which you can get at GundersonCapital.com. Well, we got a head of steam here at our firm going into the end of the year with, 3-4 months left. We're headed to Minnesota in October. We got to nail that down. We're headed to Sarasota in late October again, early November, and then back in January. So we've got a lot to do. A lot of people opening accounts with us here recently. Our portfolios have done very well here over the last couple of months. You know, we did a pretty big overhaul back in February or March, getting out of that high-flying stuff, transitioning to other areas of the market as the market rotated very, very viciously. And we're on a pretty good track right now. You judge for yourself. You can look at my macro outlook of where I think the market's headed, what they're headed to, what the risks are. Yeah, the various portfolios from our most plain vanilla, preservation of capital type of portfolio, owning individual bonds, down to our most aggressive emerging growth portfolio, which is where we own Tandem Diabetes, and all the portfolios in between. You can reach us at 855-611-BEST, 855-611-BEST, or GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.